Alrighty. Another short week here, but what's new? Last 48 hours.
They had that nor'easter go right through my town there. So I had a couple of my bird dogs saying, we are snowed in. Don't know
that.
When we're going to get
weather,
back
though.
Out.
I heard it was snowing in Orlando yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, my wife has a family that lives in southern Georgia, right close to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sent us a picture this morning with 4 inches on the ground.
Oh, man.
And they're close to the coast.
That's Armageddon when it snows down there. I'm sure they don't even know what to do.
Zion, man.
That's crazy. Shut the whole town down.
They don't even have snow removal equipment.
Right. Yeah, wait for it to disappear, I guess. Crazy.
I did make some calls, talked to some
couple
more buyers.
Yep, how'd they go?
Down in the area. Good. Kind of similar conversations. There's one guy that is looking at selling some. He's an investor, but he also does fix and flips, and he must kind of do the same thing. He flip his plate a little bit, and he'll dump some deals that he don't want to work.
Yeah.
He don't have time to work.
Yeah.
But he's interested on both sides, buying them if the numbers are good and selling some of the stuff he's got.
Does he have anything that you can go market?
I did take a look at one of them he's got.
Okay.
And it is got some potential. There is that other buyer I talked to. She was looking for 3-1.
Yeah.
And he's got something that might fit that. I'd have to get the address and see what kind of details he can give me. I got some basics on it, but I'll have to run some numbers.
Yeah.
Get a little more information and see how it looks, see if it's something that
I can
pass
see if
on.
They work. He might, you just never know. But that's perfect. Buying and selling. You'll find quite a few that do that. Not a bunch, not everybody, but. Yeah,
for sure. I'm going to start pulling from the list off FreedomSoft on the vacant leads and probably just start pushing some of those through for leads. Get a VA on skip tracing, and so I'm up to about 40.
Okay.
Potential leads I got right now, but I'm going to see if I can maybe bump that number up to 100. 150.
Yeah.
So with that other.
I mean, don't slow down until you get to 250. And even if you go there, it's always based on what the budget allows. But leads, right, everybody? Leads are the foundation of everything we do. If we don't have leads, we're not in the game. So leads are absolutely critical. And that's the one thing that, I know I talk about it before. I know you've heard me say it before. I know you've whatever. But we're always going to touch on it because leads is the foundation of everything. So got to be thinking when you get up in the morning, where are leads coming from today? You don't have to be doing it, right? Bird dogs can be bringing them in, VA skip tracing them. Maybe you're doing direct mail, multiple things. That's fine. But it's always, as long as you're an investor, where are new leads coming from? So stay on those bird dogs. Because, again, your vacants, the Postal Service vacants are a good second option, but, still your field leads will outperform those.
Yeah.
So, yep. Good stuff. Get on those bird dogs. Get that count to 250.
Yep. I've been spending quite a bit of time in the classroom on FreedomSoft, going through setting up websites and getting a buyer website set up. So should be good there.
Okay.
I got some more tweaking to do on it so I can start directing them into that.
Yep, and I want your time. So I'll tell you guys, I own a couple domain names. I haven't set up websites yet. Why? Because I don't need them to buy or sell deals. Eventually, absolutely. You want a website. You want a web presence. You want to be able to drive people in. But in the meantime, I haven't got around to it yet. Other things, that I feel like are more important. So, Mike, I know you have time. I'm not going to say don't look into FreedomSoft and learn that and do the websites, but all focus needs to be on 250 leads, skip traced, and you or salesperson on the phone. I don't want anything else to get in the way of those three things. And if those three things are full speed ahead without your input for today or whatever for a period of time,
yep,
absolutely okay to go to some other training, you know, learn FreedomSoft, whatever. But I want those to always be the priority.
Okay.
More leads, get them skip traced, get somebody on the phone. And you have 40. Are they skip traced yet?
I know. I've done some of them myself that I had done earlier, like 11 of them, but no, I need
to. So you got
to
post your ad on
VA.
Upwork.
Yeah.
Post your ad on Upwork. If people are online, which they are this time of day, you ought to be able to hire somebody for tomorrow, but at least by tomorrow at noon, get them hired, get those 40 skip traced, and jump on the phone.
Okay.
So let's get those in place. Tell them I have 40 now and a bunch more coming. For the VA. Because these VAs, you don't have to keep them busy for 20 hours a week. That's not how it works. Hey, I have 40 leads that need skip trace right now. That's probably 2 hours for somebody, but they can fill it into their schedule. You can pay them for it and just say, you know, let's assume these 40 go well and I'll keep you on board because I've got hundreds more coming.
As if I start hiring a salesperson or acquisition person, you know, how much of the FreedomSoft training am I going to have to provide? Are they going to, I mean,
very little.
I should understand.
All a salesperson needs to do is change statuses. That's it. The leads are going to come in as new. Your VA is going to go in and research them, change them from new to typically the way we have it set up, status number one, skip trace call seller, skip trace complete call seller. That's where your salesperson kicks in. And then they just go to the statuses, left a message, spoke to them, made an offer, not interested. That's all they need. Because once it becomes a property in the contract, salespeople, they can do offers. And if you really trust them, you can have them do your paperwork. And that's where you want to get them to, where they can make the offer, fill out the contract. But out of the gate, all they need is here are your leads. You're just going to be adjusting statuses for all your follow-up. And as they do that, it'll start to fill out the pie chart in that campaign. So they come in the next day and they say, okay, I want to call these follow-ups again because I left a message. They just click on that status. Here are the 10 that they left a message for. They call through them again. Just update status. That's it. Very, very little training on the sales side.
Okay.
Yep.
I did set up a lead swiper campaign for buyers. In the area I'm working in, just to pull some in off Craigslist, so I had some leads
more
coming in from that site. Yeah.
Yep. Just go to that real estate wanted page that I showed you.
Yeah.
Use that as the URL, and maybe that's what you did. So every time somebody posts there, FreedomSoft will pick it up, and you can call them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, get a Mike. I want a VA in place by end of business tomorrow.
Okay.
And skip tracing those 40 leads.
Okay.
So post that tonight. Excuse me. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you have any more questions, let's get them. If not, hit *6, mute out, and post that ad while you're listening.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nope, we're good.
All right. Who else?
Hey, what up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Oh, man, nothing much.
Did I just reply to your email? I think it was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I
actually just sent it. I'm seeing it while you're doing the call. So,
what does that thing rent for?
Huh?
What does that property rent for?
Which one?
You
I don't know if you're talking. No, I didn't send over. I was asking you about the
Oh, maybe somebody else emailed me. Hang on. I thought it was it was Lee. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did. But speaking on that, I did get. I'm getting another property on the contract tomorrow.
Nice. What are the numbers?
It rents for $550.
Okay.
I have
little 1-1.
I didn't hear you, Mike.
Is it a little 1-1?
It's a 2-1.
2-1 for 550. How many square feet?
Right under 900.
Wow, that's okay. That seems a bit low. Have you confirmed that? Where'd you get 550 from? Online sources?
I got that from online. I'm thinking that's what I was kind of thinking. I was like, that kind of seems a little bit low. And I actually live like right around the corner from the property. And I don't live in a 2-1. I live in a 2-2, but you know, mine is a little bit bigger and a little bit more updated. But like I said, this property is only a half a mile away, and I pay $825. So,
okay, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it seems a little low in most markets that I've looked at.
Honestly, just to be honest with you, I kind of thought that was low too. And based on you, me just knowing the area and kind of know what kind of goes around, I think you could easily go for, you know, $650 at least.
Okay, cool.
So it's a nice little property.
What are you going to have it under contract for?
I'm going to have it under contract for $11,000.
Okay, excuse me. I'm going to be hacking all calls too, by the way, because we have three kids and they won't get rid of this cold. So I keep picking it up every 3 months. Okay, so let's say you have it for 11. How much work does it need?
I'm saying, based on like the rehab estimator and kind of the numbers, I'm running somewhere between like 8 and 10. So I've been saying around about 10.
Okay, about $10,000.
It needs like flooring. It needs some flooring. It needs a little cleanup in the bathroom, carpet, paint. You need some new top cabinets. Either you can just put some new cabinets up there or, like, just replace the doors. You just doesn't have any doors on the cabinets. And you probably have to update the he still has tube and knob on the electric, so that definitely has to be updated.
Okay.
You know, the furnace is a little bit old. It still works, but I just kind of put it in there as maybe need replaced here soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So, 10, maybe 12.
Right, that's kind of where I was at.
What are you looking to sell it for?
I wasn't looking to make a home run on this, somewhere around 15.
Mark it up 4, see if you can assign it for 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's run some numbers. So let's 550 to 650, let's call it 600 a month rents, times 70% is 420 a month net, times 12. 5,040, and then a 12 cap buyer divided by 0.12 could pay $42,000 for it.
Yeah.
So you've got it for $42,000 could be, let's say I'm your buyer, that could be my all in number minus my purchase price of $14,000 gives me $28,000 left for fix up and closing costs, more than enough. So it seems like this thing probably has legs. And you can probably get it in with those numbers and those fix-up. You can probably, you know, market this as more of a 16. Well, let's do the math here. It was 420 times 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking 15 will probably be around what I would get it for, but I was probably going to put it out there as like 16.5 or something like that.
Right. So you have a little room. So let's say you did 16.5 and it needs 10. That's 26.5. Let's call it, you know, round up, let's call it 30. $5,040 net annual rents divided by $30,000 is a 16.8 cap. Well, that's a strong little rental.
Yeah, and it's actually in a really good neighborhood that, you know, a lot of people, you know, like living in. So it's a nice quiet neighborhood.
Well, that thing's got a great little message to it. 16.5 buy price. You know, call it $12,000, even if you call it 12. 12,000 fix up, you know, a couple grand in closing costs or whatever, and you're still high 16s, maybe even 17 percent first year return. So, cool. I like it. That's part of how we're building the story, right? Story sell. Facts tell, story sell. But you want to tell the story on this thing. Hey, it's a good little neighborhood. It's just a 2-1, but bam, bam, bam. It only needs this. Put some, you know, doors on the cabinets, and now you're painting a picture,
right?
To help get buyers across the line there. So cool. You'll have contract tomorrow.
Yep, contract tomorrow. I'm going to lock it up.
Rock and roll. So hey, if you had,
I tried to do it today, but he's an older guy and he was kind of chilling out when I called him. So he said we'll meet tomorrow. He actually He actually lives like 5 minutes away.
If you have any buyers you think may be interested, call him today. See, I've got one coming tomorrow in this zip code. You don't have to give him an address, right? It's going to be in this zip, great little spot. You know, give him approximate cross streets. Here are the numbers on it. You know, these are right up your alley. You know, depending on how well you know buyers in the area, but start
yep.
getting them ready to say, hey, this thing's coming.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I definitely do that.
Yeah, build the excitement. We got to sell them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Cool.
Other than that, I got my my phone salesperson set up.
Nice.
Yep, he'll be he had a family emergency, so he was planning
okay.
on getting started this morning. So he said he's going to get some calls made tonight, and then
okay.
he said he'll hit the ground running. I told him that I want him to make at least about 20 contacts per day, and he said he shouldn't have a problem doing that at all. So.
Cool. That's
I
good
got
stuff,
him set
man.
Up. Yep,
I'm
got
looking.
Him set
I'm
up,
looking
got
for
him
a strong update on Monday, with him on the phone
Absolutely.
A couple days. Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm got him off and running. He's excited.
Okay.
We got a plan together. I got my VA, Skip tracing leads that I'm sending him, keeping him busy. Right now I'm just working on building more traction in my remote market.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to find reliable bird dogs. I just reposted my ad, so I know I'm getting some hits here tonight, so hopefully I can find some reliable guys. That's why I was kind of questioning you about the MSA and all that, because I was like, because I
yeah.
did it by the city
so
itself. I didn't
okay, so you did send an email in. So Lee sent one
yeah.
too. What I'll tell you right now, what's the population of your city? What's the population of your MSA?
The population of my city is right around 450,000.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm just trying to Google it because I didn't have it in front of me.
No worries. So you're at that half million
it's
mark.
About one,
you...
It's about 1.2 million for the MSA for the
okay
for that area.
So I'm not going to give you a definitive answer. You can probably go either. Here's what I would do. Run numbers, run a P ratio for your city with that population and that list source data, and then run a P ratio for your MSA and go and work whichever is better. Because here's what's going to happen. If you were going to say your city's at 450, I was going to say if it's much below 500,000, go to the MSA. But you have a half million people in the city, so there's going to be some activity there. Now, I like 1.2 million better, right?
Right.
So what I want you to do is my gut is you could make either happen. If it were my market, I would probably go MSA because I like to be as close to or above that million person mark as possible. It just makes life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, though, I still want you to run a P ratio, go back to module one, run a P ratio, city versus MSA.
Okay.
And then send that over to the coaching center, to our email thread, going back and forth, and see what they look like.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and then let's make a determination. What is your MSA all populated, or, you know, is there a bunch of, farmland, open space, wildlife parks? Or is it all people? If it's all people, I'd probably say MSA. But let's see what the P ratios look like, city versus MSA.
Okay. Now when I'm doing like the actual inventory that's calculated, that's taken into account for the P ratio. What
yep.
I just do, I guess I'll just include all of the cities inside the MSA?
When you go to list source, the very first selection you make is geography. Run your city first, choose city and geography, choose the state, choose the city. In that geography dropdown, there's MSA. So, for instance, I can run MSA, go to Colorado, and click the Denver MSA, and it'll automatically include those cities for me. So list source will already have that data and knowledge built in.
Well, based on the spreadsheet I'm looking at, it say that you get the, you know, the actual inventory numbers from Realtor.com. That's why I was questioning.
Okay. So Realtor.com is different. So when you're going to city, just put in the city and grab the number. Then over on the right-hand side, it says, what is the far right tab? Expansion, I think. And then you go down to the bottom of that page, and there's a drop-down, and you can put a 20-mile radius around your city. Do that on Realtor.com for the MSA.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay, cool. Yep, that makes perfect sense.
Perfect. Okay. Yep, good stuff. Let's see what they both look like.
Okay,
I said, 450,000 is probably big enough, but if there's good activity in the MSA and you have a population of 1.2 million, I'd say go there.
Okay.
Because I like the million. We like the million population number.
Right. Just
million,
use that MSA,
right?
And then
that's plenty of people for there to be a lot of activity. I mean, there will be a lot of activity in a city of a 500,000, right?
Right.
But yeah, if you have activity all throughout the MSA, let's go there.
Yeah, because the city's P ratio is right at 5.
Okay.
So it's right at that sweet spot.
Yeah, so that's good. It's a little on the competitive side, but that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm in St. Louis, and the P ratio is 2.9, and we have deals to buy. So,
right. Yeah.
These, you know, that just shows that the marketing methods work. I mean, you can get, and we all know this, right? You're willing to hustle, and you have some know-how. You can go into any city USA and find deals to get in the middle of. What we want to do is let's just go where it's easier, right?
Exactly.
Let's go where it's easier. So that's where that P ratio comes into play. But, yeah, even, you know, and Rob picked Memphis because it was competitive. And he said, let's go put this method. He was building out basically a what did they call it, for the franchise that he launched. You know, he wanted to put the model basically to work, which is pretty similar to what we teach here, put the model to work in a competitive market. And they said, if it works here, it'll work other places because Memphis is competitive and, you know, they're killing it there. So, yeah, these methods work. I mean, obviously the vacant house thing would be a little tough in Denver, Seattle, Portland, Austin, that thing, cities like that, because there aren't a ton of vacants. But you go to any city that has any kind of vacant inventory, you know, in an average single-family home price that's not above $400,000, and you can get in the middle of transactions for sure.
Okay, great.
Yep, great. Good stuff. Anything else?
Nope, that should be it pretty much, yep.
No, all right, I'm looking for a strong update on Monday with the salesperson on the phone, so it's good stuff.
Absolutely.
Cool. Who else? I know it's coming off a short week here, too, so I didn't know if we'd have a ton of questions tonight or a couple. I'm okay with either, just so we know, so we're clear.
Hey, Mike,
either
it's
way.
Janie and Larry. No questions,
okay.
I just logged into FreedomSoft again right before the call, and we are now at about 262 leads have come in. About 50 more came in today, and
nice.
We've got 150 roughly that have been skip traced. So our skip trace is in India, so he should be waking up here in another couple hours, and I'm sure we'll get back at him again.
That's awesome. And who is on the phone with him? One of the two of you, or do you have a salesperson?
We have a salesperson.
Okay.
We got him trained yesterday, I think, and or the day before, Tuesday.
Yeah, he's trying to get
it
live.
Yeah.
When's he making calls?
I thought he was going to be making calls today, but I haven't talked to him.
Okay, let's be really clear on that.
Yeah.
Because it'll start popping as soon as you put those leads with that salesperson. So the sooner the better.
This is Larry. We're not a
seed
with it's just a sale of quoting the price and sending the contract and putting the other stuff together. You know, I'm not worried about getting a buyer, but the place between buying it and selling it, there's a lot of gray area that we just hadn't taken, you know, pretty much off enough to fully understand it. So our learning curve, well, my learning curve is kind of slow. Janie keeps pushing me.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we want to help speed that up. So here's what will happen, though. Put a high D salesperson, which I know you found, on the phone with these leads, and they will start setting follow-up calls for one of the two of you to call back and put the offer together, right? So they're gonna get the information up front, do the quick analysis on it, you know, come up with your offer price, and go back, and then you guys can either present the offer, one of the two of you, or have your salesperson do it. I mean, even if the first couple don't go great, it won't take long for them to figure it out. And it, you know, the scripting is basically, hey, for a house in the condition that you're describing, you know, we could let me back up. Let me tell you how we do it. This is how Paul and I are doing it. When Chris gets on the phone with them, he's running some really quick math, and we basically have it different parts of town just give them a price range. So if we're in North St. Louis, which is quote unquote the hood, he's telling them 3 to 8,000. Property in this condition, like you're telling me, we're typically going to be in the $3,000 to $8,000 price range. You can say something like 3 to 12, whatever, and say the only way we can really dial that in, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, is to have a quick inspection done so we can see what the inside of the property looks like. So we're going to have our guy give you a call. Let's get him inside. What does your schedule look like the next couple days? And we can walk around and give us some feedback. So then we pay our bird dog to run over there, $25, shoot a bunch of photos, put them in Dropbox, send me the link. Then we look at it and we see, is it in decent condition or is it destroyed? All right? Then we can go back to them. Oh, this place is beat. We're on the lower end of this. So then Chris can get right back on the phone and say, you know, here's the link to the photos. Looks like this place is pretty beat up. You know, a lot of things are needed. We're going to, you know, we can make you an offer of $4,000. Does that price work for you? And so what we do is we set up the range, 3 to 12 grand. And you want that range to be big. You want it to be big. You want it to start low and then go higher. Because what that does is it preps your sellers for the offer. Right? They've already heard a really low number come out of your mouth. And they've already heard a decent number come out of your mouth. And what you're telling them is, we'll give you a fair price, but it's all based on condition. How much work do we have to do to the place? And that just makes logical sense to them. Right? So now when you go back and you say, we can make you an offer of $4,000, does that number work for you? This place is really destroyed. There's no sticker shock. They've heard that number before, and you have a reason behind why you're making that offer. Does that make sense?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The simple process, what we were doing, and I'll tell you what I was doing initially was our Chris was giving him a tighter price range. He was saying like three to 8,000. And then I thought about that for a minute. After 48 hours, I was chewing on it. I was like, no, you know what? This needs to be a lot bigger price range. So we're buying, you know, I'll just tell you, Larry, we're buying in your neighborhood anywhere between $3,000 and $15,000 based on condition. That's where we're typically buying. So what we need to do next is we need to get an idea of what condition this property is now. And this is what the salesperson's saying. Now, I asked you a bunch of questions. The next step would be to get our guy on site there, actually in the property, so he can do an inspection for us. What's a good time to get that set up? Yada, yada. I'll have him call you. You two can coordinate, and we'll get him on site. So they typically meet him there. They at least know that our guy's going in to take a look at it. We get a look, and now we have the evidence we need to go back and justify our buy price. A really
That's
simple process, and it makes presenting that offer, especially low ones, really simple because there's no sticker shock.
I'm trying to adjust the price because I went into Tampa, got a list of cash buyers in the last 6 months. up the first page dozen, one guy had 17, 12, 5, 5, 5. And then from then on down, every page after that, it was a single buyer. Uh-huh. And the prices were from $24,000 to $65,000 and up.
Okay.
There was no, there's a ghetto there, but it was no ghetto price.
And a lot of the leads we have are pretty ghetto areas.
Yeah, so your prices, you've seen the actual prices, what they were bought for. So your range is 10 to, you know, our range in this neighborhood is anywhere from 10 to 35, 40 grand. So a lot of the houses Rob's buying in Memphis, they're in like the B-, C-plus neighborhood. They pay 20 to 35 for a lot of them, which
okay.
is great. That's fine.
I was just making sure because
Here's what I'm saying is make that range big. I mean, if somebody comes to you with a house that's rent ready, like we're looking at one tomorrow, renter's just moved out. It needs a cleaning, and it's probably ready to go. So could we pay 30, maybe 35 grand for that place? Yeah, potentially. So, right, that makes the range, north side of St. Louis, we're buying from $2,500 to $30,000. It can be, right? That range can be that big. Just adjust it to wherever you're at.
Well,
so it just
that's
depends.
What I'm trying to do is get the feel on it because the ones
yep.
that sold and the ones that were getting the leads that are boarded up, and I'm going, there's no way, even just from the outside look of it, that it's worth $25,000, $35,000. But I don't have any comps of other ones that were sold in that area at a lower price. So it's kind
so
of...
So go in. Here's the thing. You're not going to find great comps in these rental neighborhoods. Your value is based on your monthly rents. So you can go to – I like the Zillow rental number. Zilpi is another one. Some of you maybe pay monthly for Rent-O-Meter. That's a good one. I basically go off Zillow and just ballpark it. And then I've got a property manager out there that I run it by. And say, hey, a little 2-1 in this zip code, $700 a month. That sound about right. And he's, you know, he's a property manager. He knows. And so use that to ballpark it, because it's not rentals, Larry, are not about the market value. The value is based on how much income can this thing drive on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
That
I understand
value.
that yep. aspect of what those numbers are.
Yep.
What the Larry is, what people are paying. I'm in a college town and rent's high. They rent
yep.
by the bed.
Yep.
Somebody gets five bedrooms house, it's a home run.
Larry, here's what I want you to do. What your sales guy should be on the phone here in the next 24 hours, it sounds like. I want you on the phone with buyers. Start talking to buyers and start having right there are there's a script in the coaching center. Use that, follow it. But reach out to buyers and start having the conversation. Where do you buy? What do you buy? How do you run your numbers? How do you know if a deal is a deal? Do you only want places that are, you know, move-in ready, or are you willing to do some construction? And then what? You just start asking them, what are your typical buy prices? And they'll just tell you. I usually pick up deals between, what, call it 15 and 30 grand. They'll just come out and tell you. So while you have your salesperson working on talking to sellers, you start calling buyers and getting a feel for those questions. Just start getting to know people and building that buyers list and ask them, and they'll just tell you. And what you really want to know is, right, we've been talking about this a few times here on the last few calls. Hey, just out of curiosity, how many deals did you buy in 2017? Because you're already sorting them. Are they a VIP candidate for your buyers list? Are they maybe like a B plus buyer, or are they just filler? Right? You say yeah, they say they're a buyer, but they're never going to buy. You want to be sorting them right off the bat. Hey, how many did you buy in 2017? Great. What would you say was your average purchase price? About 20 grand. Cool. What would you say is your average fix up? Of all the properties you bought last year, about 12,000. Okay. And then how do you run your numbers? You know, are you looking for a certain return for, a certain return of cash in X number of years? How do you know when you're looking at a deal? How do you run those numbers? and you can start building out that side of it.
Yeah.
That, so go to.
I'm on that. That will give me the upside. I feel confident on that one. So.
Yeah. Start building that buyers list so that when your salesperson starts teeing them up, you know where to go.
Okay.
Ask them what are your top five favorite zip codes, or if I brought one, you say, you know, Christmas was just here recently. If I brought you a deal gift wrapped, and it put a big old smile on your face, what would it look like? Where would it be? What would the price be? What would the condition be? What is like the perfect deal that you wouldn't even hesitate and say, Larry, I'll take it? Right? Just get to know what people are looking for, and they will tell you, this is my price point. Now, right, you've got, in the coaching center, we show you how to go get list source data, which you have. Now you're going to go right to the buyers, right, which are easy conversations, and you start putting all this together, and then that's what makes your acquisitions effective. Because when you first go into a city, you know, you were talking about learning curve. It's absolutely there. You got to figure it out. And sometimes it's by location, north side, west side, south side, whatever. Sometimes it's by zip code. It can even be more specific, like the west side of this zip code is great, the east side stay away from. You're going to figure some of that stuff out. But, you know, what we do is we go to the data and list source, and then we go to data from buyer conversations. And both are valuable. So get your salesperson on the leads, seller leads, and you start talking to buyers.
That's my marching order. Got it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Fine. Yeah. That's it's not rocket science. It takes some doing, and you got to pay attention to what the data is saying. But yeah, if you have any questions on it, obviously, you know, we'll help you sort through it all, but that's it. Go to list source and pull data on where buyers are buying, then start talking to buyers. Because what you want is the relationship, right? People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. Everybody on here is likable, right? And so call buyers up and be you and say, hey, I've got some marketing that's about to drop, and I'm going to find you a deal. I mean, just tell them, you know, I plan to bring a deal your way here in the next 2 weeks. So let's rock and roll. So tell me what you're looking for. And, you know, when we get one tied up that fits, I'll call you first. We'll get you over to have a look at it. Also, you also want to ask people, how many are you looking to buy in the next 30 to 60 days? Instead of saying, how much money do you have to spend? Which, if you know somebody, that's a pretty easy question. But if you don't, ask the same question in a little bit softer way that says, you know what, it's January 4th. How many are you looking to close on this month? And if they say 3, 4, 5, and then you talk about fantastic, right? So now you know that somebody has the funds available based on how many they bought in 2017, how many they tell you they want in the next 30 days. And I like to ask them too, you know, are you closing with cash, private money, hard money, that kind of thing? Because you want to know where it's coming from. I take notes on that. You know, and I like to ask them, if I brought you a smoking deal that had to close next week and title was clear and ready to go, is that something you could make happen? Because now I know not everybody can close that fast. But I want to know the people on my buyers list who say, yep, absolutely, the deal makes sense. I can close in 48 hours. Those people either have the money or they have a private lender with basically an open checkbook. And so that's the stuff you want to know. Because scenarios are going to come up where you're going to have compressed time frames like that, and you want to know who to go to. So, Larry, that's your job.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, you just gave me my marching orders.
That's right.
I've read the other buyers list and added a few other, as you mentioned just then, a few other details to dig a little bit deeper to do them and create a little excitement.
Yep.
In.
Cool.
Now, I haven't really, I mean, other than going into list source and getting that one, you know, the list for to do our map and all that for the area.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really gone in and used it, you know, or messed around with it. With that list that we did get and made a map,
Yep.
Is there a way to go in and create like a list of those buyers somehow to that they could be skip
traced?
Yeah,
well, you have the CSV file that you got from ListSource, and then you mapped it. So you could absolutely have your VA skip trace that list. The other way to do it would be to, let's say you have 123 Main Street under contract. You go into your map, figure out where that address is, grab the 20 pins around it, and tell your VA, hey, go skip trace these 20 for me real quick when you have a live one. That's a more targeted approach. But you could absolutely go, you could tell your VA, or, you know, if you have one on properties, maybe find another one. Just say, hey, I just need, you know, I need a list of whatever, 500 names and businesses skip traced. Absolutely, you could do that. And then, like, you know, either way works. I tend to go get the deal under contract, find the 10 or 15 that are in that area, see if we can look up data on those really quick, and then I call them up because now we have one under contract and say, hey, Larry, I found your name in public records, looked up your number. I've got a deal on 123 Main Street. Looks like it's three blocks away from, you know, 345 Main Street that you bought, you know, 3 months ago. Are you still buying in the area? This is a similar looking property. So it's a really valuable list, obviously.
That sounds good.
Tell you what, if you had it all skip traced, I mean, you'd pay for it one time, but it'd be ready to rock and roll. And then you could just grab the 15 in the area and whoever was doing, you know, dispositions, Larry or somebody you hire down the road, and they could just pick up the phone and call those. That's a great little, you know, that's a great little way to do it. No doubt.
Sounds good.
Yep. Good questions, guys. Who else?
Hi, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey. I had a question. You said something about the inspection. That's what sparked, you know, I was listening now. And I have a lot of updates today, but I've been listening in. But
okay.
For the inspection,
yep.
You send your guys out before you get the contract? That's one thing I had a problem with before. I was just wondering how you handle that.
We do, because we pay, you know, 25 to 35 bucks to our bird dog to go do it.
Okay.
But we save, because when prices come back beat and it justifies our offer,
mm-hmm.
and now we have, you know, we're not just making a blind offer. It's something in the psychology with the seller. When we give them, and I just laid out that process, and my sales guy says, you know, I'll just tell you right now, we're buying in this neighborhood anywhere between $3,000 and $16,000.
Mm-hmm.
They've already heard $3,000 come out of our mouth, which
mm-hmm.
in most cases is going to be, you know, like, ugh, that's low. But that, so that is what preps them. And then they say, here's what we need to do next. We need to get our guy out there for an inspection. Because that price that we can pay is all based on the condition of the property. So now we need to go see what it's like. So we're going to do an inspection. Now, my VA or bird dog just goes in and shoots about 25 photos and emails them back. And then I call them and say, you know, what'd you see? What'd you smell? What'd you feel? Do you feel like you're going to fall through to the basement? Stuff like that. And I get a feel for it. But in their mind, we did a full inspection. So now we go back and say, hey, based on the inspection, we can pay $6,500 for your house. Does that work? You know, and we a little longer than that, we go through, here's all the things it needs, right? We're prepping them for that low offer. But they've already heard $3,000 come out of our mouth, right? So it's not as much of a shock. And then they say, well, hey, you know, it's not like these guys sent me a postcard and then sight unseen to buy my house. So yes, we inspect some houses that we pay for the inspection and we never get under contract, of course. But we feel like we save thousands on the ones that we do get under contract, so it's worth it.
Okay. Yeah, so I see, and it's $25, that's what you pay your VA for the pictures.
Yeah, it depends on, I mean, depends on how far they have to go. If it's within 10 to 15 miles, 25 bucks per. If it's all the way across town, you know, you've got to, well, you don't have to, we do, we can't, we we have a couple tiers where it'll go up to, you know, $35 based on how far they have to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
Because a lot of the
yeah, go ahead.
A lot of my bird dogs, they, in the market I work with, they have a lot of foreclosures. So they take pictures of foreclosures all the time. So they're like, hey,
yeah.
I'll go out and take pictures for you if you need me to. So
yeah.
That should be pretty easy to,
yep.
to do. Okay.
When you do those two things, prep them with a big price range, because what they're hearing is, it could be three, but it could also be 18. And then you say it's all based on the inspection. Now, this isn't us coming in and just throwing you a low offer. This is us being honest about, here's the price range, which is actual.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go do an inspection. Based on that inspection, we'll tell you what we can pay. Now it's all backed up by, you know, that's not greedy investor. That's people who did their due diligence, and this is what they can pay. Even if they say no and that offer is low, it doesn't offend
mm-hmm.
them.
Okay.
Based on this condition, this thing needs a lot of work, right? List out some of it based
mm-hmm.
on all that, because we don't do the work ourselves. We have to hire out a GC to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that all has
right.
expense, which you know, because they're homeowners. They get it. We can pay this much. Does that number work for you? So...
Okay.
It's just all, you know, it's just a little bit of psychology in there that we pay for, but it makes, like I said, it makes that offer so much easier to present.
Okay. All right, and you used about a 12K price range. I like that also.
Yeah, you want that price range to be big.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger, yeah, the bigger the better, because then they say, you know, hey, this, they could give me as much as $18,000 for this place, but it could also be $3,000. And then we come in, right? You want that to be big. Right.
Okay.
A nice big price range for them. So. And just make it truthful. I mean, you know, north side of, like I just explained, north side of St. Louis, I have one under contract right now at $2,500. We'll have other ones that are move-in ready that we'll pay $30 to $35 for. So in this area, we're paying anywhere from $2,500 to $20,000, and that's truthful, right? I'm not making it up.
Okay.
Those are actual numbers. So, yeah, that one that we have for $2,500. My GC went through it today. It only needs $15,000 of work, 12 to 15. Rents at $700 to $750 a month. It's, you know, good little deal. So, but that, those, you know, I'm just going back to they're actual numbers, and that's how we presented the offer. So, what else, Dennis?
That was it. That's all I had. I got my hand up. I'm waiting for some responses for that, and
okay.
I've been talking to sellers and getting prices informed. So. That part is coming together with the sellers, with the buyers.
Okay.
I'm waiting to get a sales rep to put on the phone. And
yep.
I'm getting more leads.
How many leads do you have ready to go? End and skip trade.
I have 45 ready to go. I had another 45 come in yesterday that's being skip trade.
Okay. So step on the gas a little bit with those bird dogs too.
Okay.
A full-time salesperson will need 15 to 20 a day, something like that.
Okay.
Rule of thumb.
Right.
So, yep.
Yeah, I've been pushing the bird dogs because I want to have at least 150 going towards 250. You know, I want them to be coming in.
Yep.
At least 30, 40 a day till I get up to 250.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, when you have 250, that gives you a little cushion with a salesperson, whatever the case. You ought to be able to pull a couple deals out of it, a few contracts, depending on, you know, how good your salesperson is on the phone and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you're right, start to build some momentum, and then you can, you know, keep an eye on your business. How many leads are you going to need? How much time does your salesperson have to put in? Because once they, especially, you know, 15 new leads a day, and then they've got all the follow-up after they've been on the phone for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that keeps them busy. because, right, you're putting some new ones in, but there's going to be a bunch of follow-up in that pipeline.
Right.
You know, they're going to leave messages, trying to get a hold of people. Yeah, I mean, you know how it works. They talk to somebody, call me back Thursday, whatever the case.
Right.
So 15 to 20, and you can probably get away with 15 leads a day. And it'll keep a pretty full-time salesperson busy. So, good stuff. Have you gotten any feedback on your salesperson ad?
No, I haven't got anything back. I just put it up last night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's new on there. Did you use the sales section on Craigslist or Indeed.com, or where'd you put it?
Craigslist.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just reposted. We're looking to bring a second salesperson on. We reposted a couple days ago and had maybe 6 or 7 replies already. So hopefully you'll get some action on that thing.
All right. Yeah, I'm hoping that some stuff come in tonight.
If you don't have a few come in, send me the link to it and let me read what you wrote. Or did you copy the one that – did I send you the one that I post?
Yeah, you did send it to me, but I read
okay.
– I put them –
okay. So it should be nice and short, not wordy. That's perfect.
Right.
Yeah, you should get some replies on it.
Okay.
Good stuff. Who else?
Mike, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Just real quick, because I got somebody who just came in with a bad ankle. So, yeah, I've gotten nowhere yet because I haven't done much. I need to get my property renter into that house that's occupied. I had to call the owner and then have the owner call the tenant. And I think we've talked about this before, but just review with me how I should say that. I mean, just tell the tenant that the house is going to be bought. But I mean, I can't guarantee that the new buyer doesn't kick that person out. Try to get a,
you can't. But you they know. Are they on a month-to-month lease?
I didn't find that out. That's a good idea. I need to find.
Yeah,
that
you
out.
Need to know. You need to know if they're on month to month, or
all
not.
Right.
Because if they're on month to month, the current owner could kick them out with a 30-day notice. So.
Right.
But the other thing too is your end buyer is going to want to know. Hey, is this
they're
you know is this person in here for the next 12 months? Am I buying somebody that's in there, or am I buying a month to month where I have a little more control?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I mean,
find that out first.
Yeah.
Okay. And then right. With the seller, say, hey, I'm going to have to get some folks through here for an inspection. So, you know, what's the best way? I mean, they know their tenant better than you do. What's the best way to handle that with the tenant?
Okay.
So, look to them for a little guidance on that one. Not that
okay.
It's tricky, but and at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what the tenant thinks. I mean, the owner owns the real estate, and they can sell it if they want to. So,
right.
You know, just let them know that what you might have to do is, you know, set up a showing maybe on a Saturday for a couple-hour window and then see how many buyers you can get on site in that window. Hey, this
right.
thing's going to be open from noon to 2 this Saturday. Put that on your calendar. Can you make it? You know, obviously it's tenant-occupied, so you can't just go see it whenever. And just start talking to sellers. So, yeah, figure that out with figure out what the lease looks like and then figure out with the current owner. Say, hey, how do you want to do this? Should we do this by appointment? Should we set up a showing? You know the tenant better than I do. You know, what do you think your preference is? Because they probably don't want you calling the tenant anyway, would be my guess. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But, yeah. Put your heads together. You'll figure it out. They'll most likely break the news to the tenant and just say, hey, here's what we're doing. You know, what are some good times that work with you? And then that's just what you have to work with, whatever time frames they get. But so you'll start getting buyers in and say, hey, it's most likely to be as non-invasive as possible. I mean, the tenant has to understand what's going on, but at the same time, you should be able to pull it off with a couple showings.
Right. Hopefully.
You know, a couple two-hour windows, something like that.
Right.
Yep.
All right. I'll get on tomorrow. I got tomorrow off, so I'll get on it.
Okay. Cool.
All Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bluff.
Signing off. I'll see you later.
Okay. Yep. See you, Tom. Bluff. Excuse me.
Lee here, Mike.
Who's that?
Lee.
Hey, Lee, what's going on?
Doing pretty good.
Did you get my
I got on the, got on the phone. Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I called up some of my sellers from those skip trades leads. I also had to get on my VA a little bit. I was thinking about getting rid of him because after he submitted those 30 tests and I hired him for to do the rest.
Yeah.
Last night I noticed he hadn't did any more. So I was like, hey man, like I need, you know, I gave him a certain time, like a week to have a mild skip trace, but I told him like, man, every day I need at least 40 or 50 of those things skip trace.
Yeah.
You know, so he got on it. So I know, last time I looked at it, I was like, he had done skip traced about 40 more since I had that conversation with him. So I guess that lit a fire under him.
And, that's right.
I actually, one of the properties I was calling the sellers. I also was going to ask you a question, what you would think. Because, like, I'm in the Dallas market, so when I'm calling these people, of course, it's a 214 area code. So I was thinking about, because a lot of people don't, because I know me, if I see an out-of-state number from my phone, I don't answer. So I was thinking, should I go out and get a Google Voice number for the New Orleans, to make those New Orleans calls and to make those Arkansas calls?
I would,
get more people to pick up.
Yep.
Yeah, and the property I sent you through the email when I was running the numbers, actually, I took a look at the picture in which my bird dog sent me. It was a boarded up house with a for sale sign on it. So I text him and say, hey, you know, if you go get that number off that boarded up house for me, I'll shoot you $10 real quick. So I ended up paying him $10 through PayPal. He went over there and got the phone number for me, and that's how I got on the phone with the guy that wanted to sell the property in which, you know, I emailed you about a little bit earlier. So
yeah, what do you think it rents for?
When I went on Zillow, I'm seeing $750, $650 and $750. So I just went with $700.
Yep, $700 times 70%, $490. Times 12,
yeah, I came up 490, yeah.
And then a 12 cap buy price would be 49,000 minus, right? And then that'd be their all in. They'd have to do fix up and that kind of thing. But a 12 cap buyer could pay around 50 at 700
a
month.
Gotcha. And that was actually what the numbers that I was coming up with, because I really was getting confused with the numbers. I always was a lazy investor that did the basic ARV times, you know, 60% minus. So when it came to actually doing, you know,
if it's a flip, that's that formula works. If it's a rental,
okay. So if it's buying whole, we're going to go with
it's based on rents. Yeah, this goes right back to the module 2 and the two anchors. Your anchor is either after repaired value or monthly rents. Just depends on the
and a lot of those those lower income areas going to be buying whole. Right.
Absolutely. Gotcha. Only number I really care about are the rents. And here's
rent.
Why.
Okay.
Here's why, right? Some landlord buyers are going to say, you know, I want a 12 cap property that has equity in it. Well, equity comes and goes as the market cycles. If you're going to own this thing for the next 10 years, the value, quote unquote, of the house, the market value is going to be all over the board in the next decade. What is fairly predictable is how much can I rent this little two-bed, two-bath house for in this neighborhood? So where a fix and flip, it's all about after repaired value. With a rental, not as important because, you know, like I said, if you're going to hold that thing for the next 10 to 20, the value is going to move. What you want to know is how much income can this thing generate for me on a monthly basis? Right. So fix and flip investors are buying a short-term paycheck. Long-term landlord investors are buying right? A more long-term return on their capital investment up front. And so it's, you know, it's just different math. And they're after two different things. So, I mean, value, if I'm not going to sell the house and it's worth $1 million, so what? If I'm not going to sell the house and it's worth 20 grand, so what? I just want my monthly rents, right? Value, it means less. So that's why we have to understand that that two anchors training in the coaching center, ARV and rents. So what do you think the seller will take on this little one? Did they tell you?
He said that he wanted 24, but I've spoken with a lot of sellers, you know, and I know I'm good at getting them down on the price. So
right, what kind of condition is it in?
It's gonna need about 25. When I actually looked at the, it's gonna need about 25. It's right at 11. It's almost at 1,100 square feet. So we probably at the top of that. That repair budget.
Yeah, so it's in bad shape.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So if a 12 cap buyer at those rents can be in it, call it 50 grand. Minus 25, obviously, you know, $25,000 buy price, potentially, right, with a 12 cap buyer. Your 20 number to the seller may work. I'd still try and come down a little bit.
Yeah, I always got to try. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yep. Because you can get that, if you can get that thing for, you know, 12 to 17, somewhere in there, and it needs 25. You know, you can probably turn a nice little paycheck and sell it even better than a 12 cap rental. Get it up closer to 13 or 14. So
yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, good stuff. Excuse me.
And I think I got one more.
How many seller calls have you made?
I made a few, but I didn't get in touch with it. I made about 15 out of that 30. Which wasn't much because I did a few in the morning, this morning. I didn't want to in the middle during 12 and one around noon. I didn't do too much calling.
Yeah.
I actually called this guy, you know, around about 3:30, 4 o'clock. I spoke with another lady. She said her niece was handling that particular property, but. No, I just put in a follow-up. I'm actually calling tomorrow because the niece didn't call me back today. But she said it's been vacant for a while, and she's an older lady. I'm pretty sure she is the owner, but, you know, she said, you know, she doesn't want to deal with it. She's going to let me speak with her niece.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
I got that going. And
yep.
And with my skill tracer, another thing, like a couple of the numbers he gave me, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him what service he used. He said he had LexisNexis, but, you know, we'll never know. And I tried to call the numbers. They wasn't getting me anywhere. So, like I said, I'm damn good at skip tracing myself because I've been doing it for so long. Well, I actually came up with a few numbers myself. So, I don't know. Hanging there with them for a while.
Even Lexis isn't going to be perfect, but it ought to be. You ought to get a good number for 75% to 85% of them.
Okay,
it's solid. TLO might even be. It's probably even 5%.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing perfect, so.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to bat 1,000 on it, but you know, you did the right thing. So what you probably want is, ideally, the same skip tracer, maybe a different one, can go out and has access to a different service or two. Because one of your status is going to be. No good numbers, re-skip trace. And then it's got to go to a different service. I know you have those skills, and that's fine in the interim, but still, you know, I want you to outsource that.
Okay.
So that you're just overseeing it. It's okay if you've got a couple here and there. I just don't want you putting a ton of time in there because that's not CEO-level activity, right? I know
you
know how to do it.
Hey, and I also did the disc test. I wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, what are you?
I was a high D and a high I.
Okay, that's why you're good on the
phone.
That's great. Yeah, so you want to hire you when you look for a salesperson.
Yeah, I got you.
I actually had
people like, hey, you didn't offer me the highest price, but, you know, you offering time, peace of mind and convenience. It's just something about you that me and my husband decided to go with. So I heard people tell me that all the time. So.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. You'd be good on the phone. And you're probably a good negotiator and aggressive, too, which is why you're not going to take 20 from this guy. You're going to go.
Oh, no.
You don't even get that price down a little bit. So, yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
It's
you're wired for it. You're going to hire you when you go to find that position first.
Gotcha.
For acquisitions and dispositions. You're going to need a couple of you. So.
That'd work.
Yep.
That's all for me, man. I appreciate the
good
feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. A lot of good things happening there. I like it. I'm looking for a good update on Monday. You know, with you on the phone with these leads, you'll start making some progress, getting offers out there for sure.
Cool, cool.
Good stuff.
All right.
Who else? We wrapped up for today.
Yeah, Mike, it's Clark.
Hey, Clark.
Yeah, just a quick question. What's the best way to find comps in the neighborhood I'm targeting?
You know, you can click comparable sales on the left side of your lead record in FreedomSoft. From there, I like to go to Zillow. And sometimes I go to Trulia as well. I like Trulia mostly for the crime rate data. I think that's pretty interesting to see what, you know, they basically rate. You'll put in an address and it'll show the different areas, green to red, five different zones of crime. I'd like to know what that is. But, yeah, I just go FreedomSoft to Zillow. That's it.
Okay, so good enough. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and you may, you know, in some of these neighborhoods, like Lee sent me an email earlier, who I was just talking to, and it said, hey, I'm not finding really any comp data for this property. And that, in a mostly rental neighborhood, that's going to be the case. I mean, you'll see you'll find some sold properties, but it's all going to be at that investor price. And that just tells you that, you know, nobody's really fixing up houses and flipping them here. There isn't retail activity. All the buyers are landlords. And so that's why we have to be versed in those two anchors, after repaired value to set the value on a property, or monthly rents.
Right.
So it just, you're not always going to find great data on properties. A lot of them you will, but you won't always. So you just, you know, piece things together as best you can. It's not really a science really. It's an art. You're not always going to get an exact answer. I mean, even if you give a property to three different appraisers, they'll be similar, but they're not going to give you the exact same number. So just as long as you're ballpark, you're fine. And what's nice about being under contract like we do with homeowners with an inspection period is, in the event that you get a property under contract and it's too high and nobody's taking it, you know, that's when we go back to the seller and trying to renegotiate the price. So.
Right.
Even if you're under contract at a price that doesn't work, you're still okay. But, yeah, those two sources. It's really not – you really don't need to find a local agent and have them go in for you and pull comps on everything from the MLS. The MLS is the single best source available for comps, but there are over 900 of them, so I've heard, across the country. They're not unified. And, you know, with the rates that most of us want to run, we'd be beating up a real estate agent. They'd be pulling comps all day, and nobody's going to do that for free. So FreedomSoft and Zillow, see what you can find, and know that it's not perfect.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else?
Not at this point.
Okay. Who else? Any other questions? All right, everybody. Great call as always. Always good talking to this group. next week, back to our regular Monday, Thursday schedule. Got through Christmas, got through New Year's. That threw us off a little bit with everything on a Monday last couple weeks. So, yeah, let's have a great couple days. Everybody have a great weekend. Obviously, any further questions, get them into the coaching email as soon as possible or as soon as you have the questions so we can get a response back to you. Keep your feet on the gas as always. And have a great afternoon, evening. Dennis, have a good day. I know it's morning where you're at. And we'll chat soon, everybody. Have a good night.
Are you too, Mike?
Yep, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Yep, see ya.